about to do an interview on tweeting from the late 19th century to early 20th century. Send. I started tweeting about a year ago, but 100 years ago, people were already doing something very similar to this in small-town newspapers. The public would submit sentence-long blurbs about their lives in so-called community columns. In the Champaign-Urbana area, the Courier and the News Gazette had sections like these. To talk about this early form of tweeting is Mary Stewart, a newspaper librarian at the University of Illinois. Mary, what was the appeal for these sort of community updates?
These community columns were a primary means of communication and of learning about other people in the community. In the absence of radio and automobiles and even telephones, this was the primary source of information about other people in your community that you didn't have daily contact with.
So for like a small town, somebody who wanted to know what the person down the street was doing or how they were doing, perhaps they were sick or maybe they were moving, this would be sort of an outlet for them to get these sort of updates.
Right. Or maybe so much not down the street, but across town or in the next community. There were columns in the Courier for Urbana, for Champaign, for Rantoul, Penfield, Ivesdale, Philo, all of these outlying communities. There would be little short columns reporting on the activities of a few individuals from those towns.
Now, these community columns, were they more common in small towns or large cities or both?
Well, just looking at the case of the Courier, there were columns in the Courier for Urbana, for Champaign, for Rantoul, Penfield, Ivesdale, Philo, all of these outlying communities. There would be little short columns reporting on the activities of a few individuals from those towns. And they tended then to be published in maybe not necessarily the newspaper of record for that county, but the larger newspaper in that county, such as the Courier.
Were diseases a common trend during certain periods when people were sick? I mean, when there was something that was spreading?
Well, you can certainly read about the local experience of the 1918 flu epidemic in the pages of the Courier and the DI.
Were there any notable members of the community that, you know, you came across?
Yeah, I did run across names of that are very familiar in that buildings, local buildings are now named after them, or schools were named after them. I think if you're interested in, say, medical history, you could find out how quarantines were used to control disease, for example, because very often when there's a communicable disease, the community columns provided information about whose houses were quarantined.
How did these early tweets compare to what we see in Twitter today?
Well, I think there are some similarities in that they are both forms of social communication. But at the same time, I think they are different in very important, significant ways. The community columns were very straightforward, fact-based reports, usually just one sentence long, of individuals' movements. Dr. Smith went to Danville to transact business on Friday, or the daughter of Fanny Smith is home with scarlet fever this week. Whereas Twitter tend to be based more on people's feelings and opinions and beliefs and values and views on things, and not so much just fact-based reporting.
This is sort of sensational journalism, sort of in your face, very into people's lives. Was there a connection between that and these personal sentence-long updates about knowing about people's business, knowing what they were doing?
Strangely, I think there is no connection. The sensationalistic reporting in some ways is much closer to the social media of today, where a lot of information is revealed, perhaps too much information is revealed. Just, for example, looking at obituaries, the cause of death was often given very explicitly 100 years ago and very graphically, whereas today because of privacy rules, very little information is given in an obituary about the cause of death.
So for an obituary today is more in common with a community column update than a than today's version of Twitter or Facebook.
Absolutely.
That's so strange.
Yes, it's counterintuitive, I think.
You would think that these, you know, community updates from 100 years ago would be more detailed, a little bit more graphic, but they were just to the point.
That was the standard, and it doesn't seem to vary whether it's an Illinois newspaper or a Kansas newspaper.
Any indication of why that was?
That was the practice. I don't know why.
And do we see some of the same names popping up in these community columns, or were they different people?
There's so many names mentioned that you'd almost have to create a database to get any kind of count of names. As I mentioned before, I recognize names sometimes, but the vast majority are just names out of a phone book almost.
Hmm. And were there any like kind of fascinating indications of when someone died or when they were born or how they died?
No, all of that, none of that made it into the community columns, and all of that information, which was readily available, was in the
full detail.
Right, in the stories that the reporters filed.
Now, I can't imagine that, like, getting an update about so-and-so is moving across town or so-and-so is sick or so-and-so bought this piece of property would say very much about a community. But what do these updates say about journalism from that period?
Well, I think it would be very hard-pressed to draw any conclusions about journalism based on these community columns, because in many ways they are the most prosaic and bland feature in our local papers 100 years ago. It's just that there was a place for both types of information. The community columns, as I mentioned, were extremely fact-based and very neutral and very short in form, whereas the actual stories that were reported are stories, and the detail was serving some kind of need among the audience.
You know, eventually these community columns faded out of the limelight. How did that go along with the way journalism changed?
I think the need for the community columns probably diminished because there were other forms, other media of communications that conveyed the very same information and conveyed it in a more timely way than a weekly newspaper or even a daily newspaper.
Now, you've studied these community columns. I mean, what, if anything, do they tell us about the Champaign-Urbana area?
By themselves, I think they don't tell us very much. They tell us about people's travels, where they went to transact business, what kind of diseases were being reported, people being quarantined, for example. But I think they don't really give us a lot of information about life in the community. They certainly don't give us the flavor of life in the community, for which I think it's important to go to the rest of the newspaper, where we can sort of piece that together rather than rely on these community columns. There's a wealth of material about the community and about life in the community that can be gleaned from other kinds of reporting that may have surrounded these columns or sat next to them on the same page.
You actually brought in some examples. Would you mind sharing some of them?
Well, I think, first of all, there are examples of graphic reporting. Whenever there was an accident or somebody died, you get very graphic detail. Here's an article from 1919 describing an automobile accident where the injuries are described as the victim's heart and lungs were punctured, his skull crushed, and lower jaw shattered. The wonder was that he lived as long as he did. And that's very typical. Frequently see headlines, skull is cleft with shovel, or found lifeless at roadside. So there was a lot of very graphic reporting of accidents and illnesses as well. In addition, you can find a wealth of reporting on the local experience of larger national, even international or global events. There's a lot of material from the 1930s in the Courier about poverty in Champaign County and the development of the welfare system locally. There's a wealth of reporting in the Courier on race relations in Champaign County. In fact, that was some of the material that jumped out at me when we first started digitizing our local newspapers. Some of it can be very surprising. And then I would certainly not want to leave out the lurid reporting. Whenever there was any kind of scandal, it's reported in very sensational detail. And I would also note that the movie ads prior to the imposition of the Hays Code were quite, I think lurid would not be overstating it.
So from those examples of the type of reporting we would see in small town newspapers, not just small town, but, you know, newspapers across the country, large cities even, what's the connection between that sort of reporting and these updates we saw from individuals in the community?
It's just that there was a place for both types of information. The community columns, as I mentioned, were extremely fact-based and very neutral and very short in form, whereas the actual stories that were reported are stories, and the detail was serving some kind of need among the audience.